Are you struggling with weight issues and constantly trying new quick fix diets? And is that little voice inside you saying you'll be happier and more successful just as soon as you lose the weight? If yes, you need to listen to today's episode of Marketing and Me with Katrina Boyle from PKB Active. We're talking about releasing weight as well as all the thoughts and emotions tied to the weight loss journey. Because it's not about getting instant results. It's about building healthy, lifelong habits for long-term transformation. This episode kicks off the March podcast theme of improving your physical health. And it's a great one. Let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a health and wellness copywriter and content marketing trainer, who's here to help perfect your message, then find the right channels to send out into the scary online world, with the ultimate goal of making it heard and seen by your ideal client. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Katrina Boyle. Welcome, Katrina.
Thanks for having me, Leanne.
Great to have you along. So we've met a few times now, getting to know each other quite well. We're working together now on a project, which has been really fun, or from my side anyway. Yes, mutual.
I'm really, really loving the conversations and the support we're doing together, things we're doing together.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so we're doing a power hour arrangement. So it was meant to be roughly fortnightly. It's kind of stretched out a little bit, but ultimately, yeah, helping Katrina get her socials really happening with all the organic posts. And I really enjoy the chat. So let's keep it up. Keep up the actions too. Accountability.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. What was that? Sorry.
Accountability is very, very good.
Yes, that's sometimes the biggest aspect to all of it all. All right, so I'll just introduce you so everyone knows who you are. So Katrina previously was a corporate senior executive over 18 years and has a background in HR, sales, and marketing. But these days, she leads a weight loss coaching organization that's transforming the lives of thousands of people across Australia and New Zealand. She's a highly regarded coach and change expert who's passionate about health and change, and then bringing them together to create real results for real people. Katrina is an accredited coach through the Neuro Leadership Institute's brain-based coaching. And this knowledge of mindset alongside her passion for health enables her to transform lives through a healthy habit-forming program. That all sounds very cool. Just delve in a little bit. What was all that training about? I know we're going to talk about healthy habits, but you want to talk about that program a little bit now before we go much further?
Sure, I'd love to, Leanne. So basically, our program is designed to, a lot of people try diets, they try weight loss, but both of those things can be quite temporary unless, of course, we change our thinking and change our habits. So that's really what our program is designed to do, is help create healthy habits that will help you not just lose weight, but stay healthy for life. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, I've heard about releasing weight rather than weight loss. I know there's a bit of a difference there, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I think what's really interesting about weight loss is that, I'll tell you a little bit of my background and my story, because it probably might help understand the concept of weight loss and releasing, not just weight, but actually releasing a lot of thinking. Mm-hmm. I I am probably not unlike a lot of people, whereby I battle with weight my whole life. I spent most of my teenage years being overweight. And as a result of being overweight, I tended to put myself in the background. I was quite a shy person most of my teenage years, and even my early adult life, I was very shy, mostly because of the fact that I was overweight. I felt I lacked a lot of confidence. My thinking about my weight wasn't great. And so as a result of that, you know, I really was holding on to a lot of stuff. And I was actually really good at losing weight. Okay, so when you think about weight loss, I was actually really good at it. I tried lots of programs and I did really good on lots of programs at weight loss. But what I wasn't doing was actually releasing the emotions and the thinking that was going with that weight. And so I love the concept of releasing weight, and with releasing weight, actually releasing and understanding some of the emotions that come with that. You know, I think there is so much baggage that we hold on to. You know, when I think about when I was overweight, you know, I was constantly thinking that people were looking at me as an overweight person, that I was fat, when really they probably weren't thinking that at all. But it was just, so they're the kind of, that's the kind of thinking that you need to release. And you can lose weight. Anyone can lose weight. But whether or not you really release it and let it go and let go some of the emotions and the beliefs that come with that, that's another story.
And it's the whole identity attached to it as well, isn't it? Because if you see yourself as being an overweight person, I was a fairly skinny kid, and then puberty hit and I got the hips. And I remember looking at the mirror, the dance studio at school. We also did drama in there. And my hips seemed like 10 times bigger than everyone else's. Like, obviously just curved out. And I just buy bigger clothes. And then I kind of thinned out a little bit, and I kept buying the bigger clothes, thinking I was still that person. And someone brought to my attention, you're thin, like you're actually size this, not size that. I can't remember what sizes they were. And it's just, yeah, funny that I still identified as being really curvy. And yeah, you just get stuck in that, don't you?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, we have a lot of people in our program who have spent most of their life being very overweight. And even when they release the weight, even when they lose the weight, their mind is still that overweight person. It's interesting. I look back at some of the photos from when I was a teenager where in my mind, I was big. I was fat. I remember as a young person, I got teased a lot. My maiden name was Carbis, and kids used to say, made like a car feels like a bus. You know, can you believe that like 40 years later, I can still remember that? But even the times where I lost weight, my mind was still that person in that fat body. And we experience adults like that all the time. They lose a lot of weight, but they don't release the thinking and the beliefs and the persona that they have about themselves as a person. That takes a whole lot of other work.
Yeah, because what kind of like thought processes for someone who's overweight, I guess, can get caught up in the low self-esteem, thinking you're not good enough, like that kind of language you're kind of saying to yourself?
Yeah, look, I think what's really interesting, weight loss is just change. And, you mentioned the fact that I've spent a lot of time working in change, and traditionally my work experience in change was organizational change. But actually now, since coaching people one-on-one, it's been more about personal change. Mm-hmm. And there's three steps to change. First of all, there's awareness. The second is acceptance. And then the next is action. And a lot of times what happens is that people become aware of the fact that they might be eating too much, or they're not exercising enough, or they might be aware of the fact that they don't fit into their clothes anymore. What they're not really aware of is some of the thinking that's going on in their minds, whether it's the thinking about stress that's causing them to eat, or the thinking about their body that's causing them to eat, and all of the emotions and stress-related eating or emotional-related eating that's going on, that's where they're missing some of the thinking. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that we need to do is understand what are those thoughts that are going on for us, and how might they be impacting on us being able to move forward, to a new life and a new body?
Yeah, actually, that's a great segue to my next question about, you know, all those programs that claim to be, you know, 8-week body transformation or, you know, 10 weeks to, you know, form in the new you, change that. But is it actually possible? Can you go through those three steps to change? Like, can you actually achieve optimal health in an 8 to 10 week transformation?
I don't believe so. And I've probably tried a number of those, Leanne. I've done them, the 8 weeks, the 10 weeks, and I've lost weight. Yeah. But I've always gone back to where I was before. And not only gone back to where I was before, but I've gone back with interest. You know, I might have lost 10 kilos in 10 weeks, but then within 3 or 4 months, I've put on 12 kilos or 15 kilos. Because what happens is that we might, I was thinking about this just the other day, you know, at the moment I've been doing this thing where I take myself to the beautician and I get my nails done once a month. Now, I'm not getting a shellac or anything like that. It's just a regular nail polish. But what happens in between is that all the nail polish starts to fall off. And so as a result of that, I have to, you know, either repaint them, or actually I don't repaint them. I just paint over the top of what's there. And so eventually I've got this really thick layer of nail polish. There's bits and pieces coming off. And so all I'm doing is just kind of putting a Band-Aid on something, right? And that's a little bit like an 8 or 10 week health transformation, is you're just putting a Band-Aid on something. You're just fixing it temporarily. But eventually you've got to face a reality that actually what you've got to do is you've got to get the nail polish remover out. You've got to take it all away. You've got to pare back the layers and start again. And that's really what you need to do with a health transformation. It's not just about changing the food that you're eating and the exercise that you're doing for 8 or 10 weeks. You've got to peel back some of the layers and, you know, dig into what is actually causing you to put the weight on to start with, or to have the unhealthy habits to start with.
Oh, I love that. That's gold there. And I think, yeah, I was just having flashbacks to when I used to watch The Biggest Loser on TV, and, you know, you hear, oh, they have all those transformations. I don't know how much of the mental stuff they actually worked on. It just seemed to be constant fitness and food, and that was all, and vomiting if it got to that point.
Exactly.
You know, oh, I was looking at going, oh, I'm never going to exercise the point of vomiting. But yeah, and then you hear these stories, yeah, but very small percentage actually were able to keep it off after the, you know, it stopped rolling, and then there'd be challenges of reflecting on how they're going, all this kind of stuff. And it's, yeah, because you hit the real world and trying to, you know, get your mindset continuously in that game. You don't have in-house chefs preparing your food, you know, you got to do your own stuff. And it's, I guess, also a point of making those, yeah, healthy habits to keep it up. And it's not just, I just have to get through this 8-10 weeks and I'll have a perfect body. It's like, you got to keep on. It's got to be a whole lifestyle change, right?
That's it. I mean, I think what's really interesting about those types of programs like Biggest Loser, you know, they're in an unreal environment. You know, it's not real food, because it's not the food that they make at home for themselves. It's not their real life as far as being able to balance work and family and all the stressors of life. Like, it's such an unreal situation. So not only that, the exercise is extreme, you know, the food is extreme. And realistically, the only way to have good optimal health for life is to work out what is real food for you. You know, what food can you make that will be the food that you eat for life? You know, what exercise regime can you put in place that is actually going to be a daily habit that you can sustain? You know, what strategies can you put in place so that, you know, the stressors in your environment are managed so that you can still look after yourself? And I think that's the thing about health. It's understanding what is real for you and creating a plan that is going to put you in a real situation where you've got real food and daily habits that are going to keep you going, ongoing, or else otherwise it's just all very unreal.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's the type of thing as well. You have New Year's resolutions and maybe over the summer break, you kind of start going to the gym, but then yeah, life just kind of starts taking over. You're like, oh, I actually don't have all this time to go to the gym. I've only got this little tiny bit of time if I can make it work. You know, like for me, I've realized that the exercise, it pretty much has to be a first thing in the morning thing. No matter how many times I've intended to go for a walk at lunchtime, it just never happens. I'm like, that's when I want to just, if I am working from home, chill out on the couch. I don't want to be doing that. So for me, I've realized if I want to make exercise happen, it has to be very first thing in the morning, get out of bed before the family is awake and go. Whether that's for me running or going to like the doing the group training thing. I mean, lately I've been doing dance classes at 8 o'clock at night. So it's on the other end. I'm a little bit more tired, but I don't think my dance partner will be so happy with, 6 a.m. start. So, so tell us more about, goals and why they're important to enable people to achieve great health.
Yeah. Look, I think what's really interesting, you just talked about New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. A New Year's resolution is often made in the spur of the moment, emotional, I'm going to do this and I start off, I'm super motivated. But actually what the difference between having a New Year's resolution and a goal is that when you have a goal, firstly, it automatically turns on a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. So when you, like, human beings are naturally target-centered beings, so when they've got a goal to go for, it turns that system on, and then it looks for ways to be able to make that particular goal a reality. So I think that's the first thing. The other thing that happens when you start to set goals is you realize, and look, I think for a lot of your listeners, Leanne, you know, they're working mums, like they might have a business, they're running a family, you know, and they're trying to be healthy at the same time. And, you know, there's this concept of, you know, can we do it all? Well, I guess the statement is more around what are all the things that are important to you? And I think that in the book Finish by John Acuff, he talks about, you know, perfectionism is a lie. And it, like, you can't achieve all things. But what you can do when you set a goal is you can focus on the most important thing. Or the most important things. I mean, there's even a book called The One Thing, you know, where it talks about what is one thing that actually is going to make the biggest difference to your life, almost like a domino effect. You know, if there's one thing that you have to tip over like a domino, what is that one thing so that all the other dominoes can fall into place? And that's what goal setting does. It helps you to get real focus on the most important things. But it also helps you to be able to say no to the things that aren't important. I don't know if you've ever read the book Good to Great by Jim Collins, and he talks about the difference between good leaders and great leaders, and good organizations and great organizations are those that can actually consciously choose what to stop doing just as much as what they choose to do. And that's the beauty of goal setting, is that you can go, if that's my goal, what are the things that are getting in my way right now that I actually need to stop doing?
Mm.
So it gives you lots of focus.
Yeah, and that's probably the thing too, what you just said. You set goals, but you're still living your life the same way. You need to be able to incorporate. And yeah, I think I've talked about, you know, atomic habits before, with actually incorporating new habits in your day and make sure you're rewarding yourself, and you either attach them to old habits that, you know, actually happens and all that kind of stuff. But you also have to see yourself as a person who achieves the goal too, like use a bit of visualization techniques as well to actually, it's not just a pie in the sky, some words of a goal. You can actually feel it. See if it is a weight loss thing, right? You actually have to feel how you'd feel if you were, you know, fitter, healthier, you know, would you spend more time running around with the kids and not care, be scared of stairs and all that kind of stuff too.
Look, visualization is so powerful. I mean, I think one of the biggest things that I learned in the Brain Based Coaching program was just how powerful the brain is. And the brain can be powerful either negatively or positively, but it's your choice what you do. And I mean, one of the reasons why Olympic athletes and Olympic coaches use visualization techniques is because the brain cannot distinguish the difference between what is real and what is envisioned.
I love that. Yeah, so true.
So it's so true. I don't know if you watched the Summer Olympics and the high jumpers. It was so powerful to watch them, how before they actually did their jump, you could see them going through a visualization technique where you could actually, like, they were standing still, but their bodies were moving almost as if they were powering over the top of the bar, because they were visualizing all the steps that they would run up to the bar and then how their body would fly over the top. And that's the thing, is like, when that happens in someone's mind, then when the reality happens, the mind will go there. And the same thing goes for health. It's like, I mean, I've got right in front of me here my vision board around where I want to be with my health and my healthy family and things like that. It's like, and you helped me create that too, Leanne. You know, it's like visualizing yourself, you know, what do you look like? Like, you know, are you wearing something? Can you visualize yourself in some kind of particular outfit? You know, what is it about it? It might be that your body's more toned. It might just be that you've rid your body of eczema or something like that. Like, what does health look like for you? And create a vision of that for yourself so that you've got something to work towards.
Yeah. And I guess as a lead on from that, affirmations, how do they fit in with the whole health journey?
Well, the same thing, Leanne, is that the mind cannot distinguish between what is experienced and what is envisioned. Affirmations, there is scientific proof. I mean, there's an old school of thought around, you know, positive thinking, and then there's positive psychology. So there is absolute research to say that affirmations work. And basically, when you are wanting to create something in your life, when you've got a goal that you want to create, if you write affirmations about that particular goal, you can make that goal a reality. The key thing to remember with affirmations is they need to be in the present. So it's not, I'm going to lose 10 kilos. It is, you know, something like, I'm 65 kilos and I feel great in my skin. It's very much in the present. It's very rich in emotion, and it needs to be 50% believable. That's all. Okay,
so that's 50%.
Only 50% believable. So that's the thing. You know, it's a bit like fake it till you make it. Well, affirmations work in that way.
Yes, I've got one. You know, with my running, because I wasn't a runner as a kid at all. Like I was pretty unfit. Apart from the dancing once a week and swimming once a week, but any kind of running thing in between, I did not like the game tips very much. As an adult, I started getting into it, and I've done a couple of city surfs and bridge runs, you know, that kind of thing. And I decided, maybe 6 months ago, that I want to be able to run 10Ks without stopping. But it was just that little pie in the sky goal thing. And so what I said from this year, I've started seeing it more regularly. I can run 10Ks without stopping. And I've realized part of the habit building is I'm like, all right, well, I know this lap is 5Ks. If I say a little bit more, oh, look, I can run 6Ks now. If I just build the habits forming a little bit each week, just add on, you know, a kilometer or even half a kilometer, by the mid-year, I should be able to run 10Ks without stopping. So it's a bit of a mixture of all those things. Actually, I can see myself, you know, doing it and going, oh, I feel great, that was so easy. Now that I have run 6Ks without stopping and proved myself, so that's probably the 50% believable. I'm like, well, I can do this. So as long as I allow enough time in my morning to get back before my husband goes to work, I should be able to do this. So there's a little example of tying them all together.
Yeah, and I think what's really beautiful about that example that you just talked about is when you've got a goal, breaking it down into smaller parts, you know, is just starting somewhere. And, you know, if you want to run 10 kilometres, start running 2 or 3. I remember when I did my first half marathon and they said to me, it's really just, you know, 4 7-minute races. 7-kilometer races. And I was like, oh, okay. All of a sudden that became achievable. You know, okay, I just need to run 7 kilometers 4 times. So then I was able to, you know, that's all I had to do. So then, you know, and that's what you've done, right, is you've just kind of broken it down to go, I can do this, I can do that. But the other thing that you've done so beautifully there is just the gradual increase. You know, you're not trying to increase it by another 5Ks or 10Ks. It's just, what if I could do 1 kilometer more? You know, what if I could do 1,000 steps more each day? You know, it, and Darren Hardy's got a book called The Compound Effect, and that's what he talks about, is like, what are small daily changes you could make? And when you do those small daily changes, you know, improve 1% every day, and over 1 year, that's going to compound into big changes over time.
Yes, and I guess in terms of like the healthy eating or whatever, it's just like, all right, if I have that one salad a day or one whatever it is, it all kind of adds up in the long run.
And interestingly, the compound effects work in the opposite way too, Leanne. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I'll just have this hamburger this weekend. Oh, next weekend I'll have a hamburger and I'll have some ice cream as well. You know, oh, you know what? I'm just going to miss out on the gym today. Oh, tomorrow I don't feel like it either. And so it can compound into negative habits, and it can compound into positive habits, whatever way we want to take it, really.
Love it, love it. And so how can people, I mean, just on the affirmation thing again, create their own affirmations? Is there kind of like a rule behind it, apart from the 50% rule?
Yeah, so I think first of all, it being in the affirmative or in the positive, it needs to be in the present. You know, so where someone says, you know, I have lost 10 kilos, you know, like, it's not very positive versus, you know, I look sexy in my pink dress. You know, like, that is much more emotive. It's more positive. You know, even things like, you know, I don't smoke anymore. Like, the brain actually doesn't understand don't.
Yes.
Okay, what the brain hears is,
kids don't understand it either.
True. You know, so you need to say it in the positive. So what you got to think about is, when you say that affirmation, you are creating a new neural pathway, and you're telling your brain, I am this right now. You know, so it's, I am healthy, I am fit, I am a marathon runner. You know, it's whatever, you know, I am a confident speaker, I am a successful businesswoman. But it's an I am statement, so it's very much in the present. It's not I'm going to be, or I will, or I can. It's not that. It's an I am.
Well, that actually just reminded me of probably going back, 14 years ago, when I learned about law of attraction a little bit more and being more in control. And I heard about this saying, affirmations to kind of make your reality come true, a bit of manifestation. And I started saying, because I was in a telesales job and I was unhappy. I just started saying to myself, I am a journalist. I'm a freelance journalist, and just started believing it. And I even went to a year 6 reunion thing, and everyone there, I'm like, I'm a freelance journalist. I'm working on my first article for the MX newspaper. Anyone knows that community newspaper? That was my goal, to be published in there, because imagine all the people reading it. I hadn't even been published yet, but I was telling everyone, I'm a freelance journalist. And before long, I got the article published there, and then I think that 6 more in that same paper. And I kind of made it happen just because I started saying it to the world. So that's probably the other thing as well. Don't be afraid to say it to other people. Yes. Maybe there's accountability too, but you probably believe it more when you tell other people.
Yeah, the more you can say it, the better, the more that it comes out of your mouth. I mean, one of the things that actually some affirmation kind of strategies is things like, you don't want to just read affirmations, you want to say them. And something really powerful is actually you saying them out loud and hearing you say that, whether you say it to people out in the street, whether you say it out loud to yourself. I mean, I have my affirmations recorded and I read and listen to them each morning. So it's like the first thing I do when I wake up, I weigh myself, I come downstairs, I say my affirmations and I read my book. And that's kind of how I start my day. And then I go out for a walk. But when I read my affirmations, I actually have the recording talking to me. And I think, you know, you reminded me of a story just then, like probably 4 or 5 years ago, my business was not going great, Leanne. Like I had a consulting business. It was not going great at all. And I wrote myself an affirmation, which was, I make a positive difference every day. And it was written on the door of my office. And some days I would look at that door and I would put my head in my hands and I would cry and just go, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I'm so not making a difference to people. This is not, you know, I just felt so far from that. Like when they say that's got to be 50% believable, that felt so far from the truth. Mm. But I just kept saying it and saying it and saying it to myself. And it was about 18 months ago where we were actually moving out of that house. And I went to that door and I had to clean off the door. And I looked at it and went, I make a positive difference every day. And I actually, for the first time, it felt 100% believable. You know, that took probably 2.5 years of me saying that affirmation. Mm. But, man, it worked. Yeah. I attracted everything that helped me to be able to do that.
Oh, I think that's so important what you just said about it can take time because, you know, you do hear about people, oh, I manifested this, I just thought this, and the next day it happened. but, yeah, just keep at it, the consistency, keep showing up, keep believing in it, and it will happen if you really deep down want it.
That's for sure.
Love it. So I talked a little bit about this, but I asked all my guests this question, and that is, how do you look after your health and wellness?
Yeah, well, I guess I talked a little bit about it before, and I loved what you said before around how you prioritize your health. So Darren Hardy has a principle of bookending your day. And what I find is, you know, being a mum of three, running my own business, you know, prioritizing me can sometimes go to the bottom of the priority list. So what I do is I bookend my day. So I prioritize myself first thing in the morning. You know, like I said, I wake up, I weigh myself, I come downstairs, I make myself a herbal tea, I read my affirmations, I do 10 minutes of reading, and then I go out for an hour's walk. And that is all before I've had to do anything for my children, or my family or my business. And then I finish the day with a similar routine. You know, I finish the day with basically, you know, a shower, I do my skincare routine. So I'm looking after my skin, taking my supplements before bed. And then I sit in bed and I do journaling. You know, I journal about my day or if there's anything that's on my mind, I release that before I go to sleep, and then put some meditation music on and I'm asleep in about 60 seconds. But that's what I do. I just prioritize me on the times of the day where I know that's going to be 100% not interrupted.
Yeah, I'm going to get better at that because when it's wet weather like today, I kind of woke up going, I'm going to run and go outside. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's pouring. And then I kind of thought, oh, well, I might as well work. I'm awake. So I want to change that actually. And if I'm not running or whatever, go, oh, well, kids aren't going to wake up till 7:30. I've got couple of hours to do whatever I want for me, reading, journaling. Yeah, get back nice. I'm going to make that, yeah, for me, that's going to be one of my focuses. And I also asked this question, and what's the best form of marketing for your business?
Referral, 100%. So I find if I give people a positive experience around their health results, their experience will motivate and inspire other people. And of course, you know, that referral can either happen through word of mouth, as far as that person talking to other people or people noticing and going, oh my goodness, you look amazing. Or alternatively, sharing that story on social media. And I think that's where you've been really helpful to me, Leanne, is helping me take authentic, real stories and sharing them in an authentic, real way through social media, because it is a great avenue to get those kind of stories out there. I mean, I had a startup with a lady just this morning who said that she has been watching our page for a year, you know, and so like weight loss is a very personal thing, and people have often had a lot of failures in weight loss. I've had them. So I've had lots of them. So you get to a stage where you just don't believe it could be possible. And so things like social media, where people can watch and observe and just hear more than one story to build belief for themselves that maybe it could be possible for them, is just really powerful.
Yeah, as I've said to you, case studies are so powerful because people, for that type of journey, because it's so personal, they want to better imagine them in the shoes of the people that have experience the transformation and go, okay, I can actually see that, visualize it, you know, that it could actually come true for them as well. So, and yeah, the whole a year, 100% years, you have no idea. And quite often there are people who don't comment or like that reach out to you randomly and like, oh, I've been following you, want to work with you now. So just keep showing up.
That's it. Yeah. Keep being you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And how can people connect with you, Katrina?
So we have a Facebook page, which is PKB Active WLCW. So we are a weight loss coaching organisation. So PKB Active Weight Loss Coaching. They can connect with us through Facebook, through Instagram and through LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. I really enjoyed our chat. I think there's some great gold nuggets there, whether it's the affirmations, visualisation or healthy habits. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Leanne. It's been great.
Awesome. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoy listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the show, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247. Or of course, book in a 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.